looking at the restoration of God's church in these last days, because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So, as you see the nations confused today, the world confused, and as you see your own nation in utter division and confusion, it's part of the judgment of God upon us as a church. God is not angry at the world. The world is just a symptom of the church. However the church goes, that's how the world goes. For example, if the church is whorish, the world will be unjust. If the world is bridal, then the world will be just. Now, this is God's secret, is that the church is to be the salt, which is sprinkled among the people, and the light, so that the people have knowledge which they don't normally, naturally have. They just don't have it. There's no way they have it. So they can fear God to an extent. The extent they can fear God to is guilt. They cannot fear God to the extent of holy righteousness, but they can at least be guilty. In other words, they can know enough about God to know that they're not godly. That's as high as the world can go. As high as TCU or SMU or any of the schools could teach you is that you're guilty before God. And would that our nation knew that. Instead, in arrogance, without the fear of God, they just plow forward and forget God. And a nation that forgets God is doomed then to be not only evil, but also to be foolish. It's just not going to work. You cannot have justice. You cannot have God's protection. You cannot have God's provision. You cannot have God's benefactions. Now, He reigns on the just and the unjust. So it's not like God doesn't love us and care. It's that we're not listening to Him or receiving what He has to give us. The church is the problem, though, not the nation. Not the businessman, the communists, the weirdos, the perverts. That's not the problem. The problem is if my people will humble themselves. So the problem is the church is not a light and it's not salt. It's darkness and it's lost its savor. So it's only to be good for nothing to be trampled by men. At any rate, we have three duties. One is religious. That's the first one we owe to God. Two is moral. That's the one we owe to our fellow man. And three is to Caesar. We actually have to render to Caesar whatever belongs to him as Christians, not as a church, but as members of the church. In other words, all men, let every soul, every includes us, let every soul be subject. So we as Christians cannot say, well, because we're part of heaven, we don't have to do anything on earth. No, actually God, who's your Heavenly Father, assigned to you that job is to give Him first worship, second, moral love to one another, and third, you also have to give to Caesar what belongs to him, and he named what you belong to him. There's only four things that he gets. One, honor, because he's in an office that God set up. Fear, because God is the one that works through those office holders and give them their power. Taxes, which supports them to do their legal, lawful job, not some other job that they invent. And then finally, tribute, which is when a nation goes away from God, it pays tribute to some other god. You're always going to be ruled by somebody. So if a nation is no longer godly, as ours is fast becoming, then other nations will subject us. And God will allow that. In fact, that's why God has other nations, to punish those that have defied Him. And He'll use a wicked nation to punish a wicked people. So when things happen to us, do not think it's accidental, you have nothing to do with, or some bad guy's doing it. You're the bad guy. You're the bad guy because you're the only one that knew the truth and you didn't do it. So if you know the truth, then you're responsible to God, to your neighbor, that is all mankind, but also to your own people, to your own nation and government. You owe a particular nation, not, you don't owe Hawaii, not Hawaii, but Mexico or something. You owe it to this nation. And everybody living in any nation of the world owes it to their particular nation
to bring about, let's say, peace in the city, or in the state, or region, or province, whatever they call it, or the nation itself, you owe that. You have to do that. That's your duty to God to do that. You're not really serving man. Man is just a trustee. Man is just simply one of God's ministers or instruments. And they have to render it also. They're not above the law. There's nobody above the law. Now, there's only two kinds of governments in the world, and I'm not going to explain it today. But as we go through it, I will explain it. There's either a trustee government where man is not God, or there's a benefactor government where man is the giver, where man is God, where man is the benefactor, and people owe him thanks. And we are becoming now as a nation a benefactor government, which means the government gives benefits. The minute the government gives benefits, it's plain God. Governments can never give a benefit of any sort, whatever, never. Now, I just made a revolutionary, powerful, incredible statement. And there are very few people in the world that can reduce it as I just did. The reason that I just did is not because I'm smart. It's because I read my Bible. And whenever you become the benefactor, then God is removed. He's usurped. He's overthrown. When the government claims for itself not to be God's minister or trustee or servant or slave, when the government becomes the master, then it owns something. And what it owns, it's lying because it doesn't own anything. A government is just a creature of a creature of a creature. Nevertheless, that creature of a creature of a creature, because the people are sleeping, because the church is not alight, because nobody's watching what's happening, because of that, the government then becomes God. Deo ipso, just, you know, transforms itself into a God, and nobody noticed. Even though the laws de jure say it can't do that, yet the laws de facto say it has already done that. And this is not like a theory. The government does hand out benefits. It grants things. Governments can never be a grantor. Governments can never be owners. It's impossible for a government to be a government and be an owner. A government will always be subject to God. Therefore, it owns nothing. It has nothing. It can give nothing because it has nothing. You cannot give what you do not have. So I can give you something if I am the owner who's able to dispose of it. But if I'm not the owner, I can't dispose. Say I'm a trustee of something that somebody else owns for somebody else's benefit. Then I'm merely a trustee. So a trustee stands between the real benefactor and the one who's the beneficiary. In this case, the sovereign people are the benefactors, and the individual people, that is themselves as individuals, are the beneficiaries. And the government's in the middle as the trustee who owns nothing but simply ministers God's benefactions through the people, to the people. Because this is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. It all has to do with the people. Now I'm going to prove this. I'm going to prove this. Not only by Scripture, but also by the founding fathers. I'm going to prove both of those statements. Because what I've just said is so powerful, it would undercut the present direction that the government is going. Totally undercut it. But as I said, the problem is not the government. The problem is totally the churches. They're not free by God's own will, which happened in the 18th century, in the latter part of the 18th century, when churches began to say, you know, we ought to have one God, God, instead of two gods. You can't have Caesar as your God and God as your God. You're going to have one or the other. Now, you can't have both. So if Caesar's a God, then you have a benefactor government. If Caesar is just a minister of God, as Romans 13 tells us, then you just have a trustee government, which means they don't own anything, they don't have anything, they don't talk in their own name, they don't do anything in their own name, they don't say their own words, they don't do their own deeds. They are slaves of someone higher. The sovereign people above them, and God above the sovereign people. Now, our government, when it started out, followed the Scriptures. That's why people think we're a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. We are a nation with Christians in it. But we are not a Christian nation. We are a nation that was influenced by Christians, but today, even though there's many Christians in the nation, you're no longer influencing the nation. And you don't influence just because you vote. That's not how you influence. So you influence by being what you're supposed to be, which is a bridal church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You ought to be wise as serpents, and you ought to be moral and clean as dung, innocent. Now, without that, there is no government on earth that can stand. And you will become not a government, but a tyranny. So all the nations of the earth today are not even governments at all. In God's sight, none of them are governments. They are tyrannies. They are despotisms. They are simply oppressive agents of Satan. They are Baalistic. They come from Nimrod. Nimrod was the first emperor of the world. I could go forever on Nimrod. Nimrod set up a government in defiance of God to replace God. Remember, God's the one that caused the flood and killed all of mankind, killed the whole business. And so Nimrod, the great-grandson of Noah, accused him. And he said, you know, you want a God way upstairs like that? Let's just worship the sun, the moon, the stars. Let's worship the creature rather than the creator. And he changed the glory of God into the glory of man. And he himself became the benefactor. He was now the shepherd and the savior of his people. He was the one that protected them from wild animals. He protected them from all kinds of problems, just like the government today claims and pretends. But in fact, he destroyed the people. God was not the destroyer. God was the benefactor. Nimrod was the destroyer. But by getting rid of God and worshiping a lesser form of God, sun, moon, and stars, in other words, worshiping the creator rather than the creator, he invented a new religion. When you get a new religion, you will never have a true government. Because the foundation is always true religion and true morals. Morals that never change. Today, our country no longer believes in morals that don't change. It used to be homosexuality was out, now it's in. It used to be that, you know, you couldn't divorce easily. Today you can divorce readily. And so on and so forth. So there's a whole new world out there, but God has not changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that foundation is what Abraham found when he went to, not to Babel. He didn't go to Babylon or Asia or Persia or Syria or Greece or Rome or wherever. He went to a little place called Mount Zion in Jerusalem. We just sang a song about it. That you may not understand the power of the words of that song, but that's God's city. And the reason that's God's city is not because it's a geographical place, though it is. It's because that's where Jesus would die and show true religion. And true religion is the only foundation for a good government. You cannot even have a good government without that true religion. So, God wants to set up what he calls a trustee government where men are just men. Mere men. And where God is God. And all of our benefits, all of our blessings, all of our goods, all come from God. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. There cannot be any man on earth or any government on earth that can ever do anything good. A trustee doesn't do any good. Once they said to Jesus, good teacher, and he said, why do you call me good? None is good but God. There isn't anyone good but God. I'm not here as God. I'm here as son of man. Though I may be son of God, I emptied myself of that when I came down and took the form of a servant. I'm down here never saying my own words, never doing my own deeds, never having my own will, never pleasing myself, never taking care of my own account, never building up my any advantage or profit for myself. I'm here for you. I was sent by him to do his works, and whenever I say something, it's him. And whenever I do something, it's him. So I'm a trustee. Jesus set up trusteeship in the church. And the amazing thing is today, even the churches do not recognize God. Churches are into all kinds of immorality today. Pastors are counseling people. I don't know what that is. I have no idea what counseling means. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. I have no idea what counseling means. You know, talking to people. What good does that do? Why not just share with the word of the Lord? If you're a pastor, don't you just simply know the word of the Lord? If you don't, why don't you ask him? You shouldn't say your own words or your own deeds or study Freud or, you know, some kind of idiot, a drug taker. Why would you want to give words of men to Christians? Why would you want to give Christians food that would be nothing but poison? Why would you want to tell someone who's a believer a bunch of nonsense and words? Every word coming out of my mouth is either Jesus or it's Satan. Period. If it's from me, it's Satan. If it's from not me, then it's God. That's it. So, there's no other possibility. Now, Jesus said, you know that the rulers of this world call themselves benefactors. You know that the rulers of this world call themselves God. They pretend like they do good. I do good. I'm the only one that doeth good. All good is from me. Every benefit you have, thank me. Do not worship Caesar for some benefit. You see, when the government gives you a benefit, you're actually a slave. You just became a slave. Not only that, you're an idolater. Because now you're thanking or worshiping the government. And they want something for it too, by the way. And they'll rob the people to get it. And if the poor don't have it, they'll take it from the rich. And if the rich won't give it, they'll get it from the middle class. You all understand? That's because you have a benefactor government, which was not set up by any of the founding fathers, which I'm going to prove. None of the founding fathers, they were absolutely clear. They agreed with me 100%. I know that was what they were trying to do, and they didn't. No, they agreed with the Word of God. And every one of them, and I'm going to read you now what George Washington said, what Thomas Jefferson said, a few things from Adams. And then next time I'm going to tell you about another man named James Madison. And I will prove to you that they had the same perfect understanding that the Scripture has because they feared God. Benjamin Franklin, though he may have been a deist, and he may not have, you know, been the kind of Christians we are today, I'm going to tell you something, he feared God. That man feared God. Thomas Jefferson, he also feared God. Now, he was weird. He probably, you know, went to hell. But he served, no, there's no problem that he did that, but he served God better than almost any man of his generation. And we should thank God for him, because it wasn't him doing it. And he knew that. He also understood that. He understood that there was a God. He called him the God of nature. That's all right. God is the God of nature. So he didn't lie when he said that. These duties are natural. They're for every man in the world. Every man in the world has a duty to worship God. Every man in the world has a duty to love his fellow man. And every man in the world has a duty to serve his government. So that is, there's nothing wrong with that. It just so happens that Scripture agrees with all of that. And Scripture says your first duty is to God, your second duty is to fellow man, and your third duty is to the government in which you inhabit or live or reside or, you know, carry on your life. And so you can, and by the way, you can migrate. Anytime you don't like the government you're under, you can go somewhere else. Unless you're in an oppressive government that won't let you move. And most governments, including our own, will today not only let you go out, but they'll keep your money. Or you can go out and have some money, but you have to tell them exactly how much you've got. In other words, they control you because they are now the benefactor and the controller and the God of your life. They not only want your outer life, they want your inner life as well. And they want your worship and your thanks. They want you to be good citizens. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You owe your country nothing. You owe your country nothing. What you owe is to do those duties God gave you. That's all. Honor them. Fear their wrath against you if you do bad, and only if you do bad. Otherwise, they must leave you alone. So you don't owe them anything. Pay the tax. That just simply pays the guy so he can take the sword against the bad guy and set free the good guy. Here's the secret. Here's the problem. Today, nobody knows how to defeat the bad guy. In fact, the government is the bad guy. And nobody knows how to defeat him. Why? Because they can't distinguish. The way they interpret what the founders did is not in a biblical manner, but they interpret the bad guy as good. Let's see, for example, an atheist. In our country, the way it was set up, an atheist could be there, and he could even have in his conscience that he didn't believe in God, but he couldn't exercise that, nor could he come into court. Today, atheists are a religion like any other religion. Pornography today is allowed, even though in the early country, first 100 years, it never would have happened. No possibility. All the way into the 20th century, no possibility. Really, up until World War II, it wouldn't have happened. But now, all of a sudden, we have a new liberal kind of deal, and you have no rules, and nobody knows how to draw them. Even the Christians are confused. They know it's wrong, and they think that if they attack secular humanism or something, they'll defeat it. You will not defeat it. Because the church itself is where the corruption lies. The church itself is corrupt. The church itself is not fearing God, but fearing man. And most churches today are just kind of, you know, the new morality. They just simply preach, hey, get along with your neighbor, try to be a good person, and so on. Very shallow. Completely They have no ability to attack Satan or the Antichrist at all. And pastors, you must do this on a daily basis. Every day when you wake up, you must defeat the Antichrist. Every day when you wake up, you want to immediately attack Satan and the kingdom. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have to knock down the gates of hell. Well, if you don't knock it inside of you, if you don't, first of all, religiously knock it down here, you will not knock it down here for your neighbor, and you'll leave your neighbor under the gates of hell, nor in your nation. So today, there's utter confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. God is the author of clarity. Everything is clear with God. I am clear. I'm very clear. I'm as clear as anyone alive. I may be clearer than 99% of those that are alive or involved in politics or in church or whatever. Why? Because I've studied and got my wisdom, my knowledge from God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't have the right knowledge. It isn't just getting a lot of knowledge like going to TCU or SMU or something. It's not just getting more head knowledge. It means having wisdom of what to do with the knowledge you have. And I would say today people are crippled. They can't even make a move because they don't know what to do. Well, this is right. Of course, on the other hand, this is right. You know, what do you know? And so today knowledge counts for nothing. It's just the wicked that are able to use everything to take advantage of the naive people. My people are destroyed not only by lack of knowledge, but without a vision, they perish. They're gone. They're lost. They go right into destruction and perdition. So they have no ability today to protect themselves because they don't know A from B. Now, thank God you have a pastor. It's me. You know what? Pastor Jim is nothing. Zero. All I'm doing is repeating the words out of the Bible. I'm not a good pastor. I'm not a great pastor. I'm not an anything. There's no good. Jesus said, the good works that I do, yes, I do them, but I don't do them. Strictly speaking, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I'm his trustee. So when you say I did them, I say I didn't did them. The Son can do nothing of himself. But whatever he sees the Father doing, he doeth. Whatever he hears the Father saying, he saith. Now, because you may not be a mature man or woman of God, you're not going to hear clearly. You're not going to hear clearly. So it's incumbent upon me to help not only free the churches from the world, because you're free from something. You're not free from God. That's what Nimrod did. He freed the church from God. He freed religion from God. And he set up false gods. He set up idolatry. He is the author of idolatry. Prior to the flood, people actually believed the truth that there was a God and they feared him. They just didn't do what he said. But they actually knew there was a God. Today, people don't even know there's a God. I tell you, if you go among young people who are under 15 and you talk to them, they don't even know about anything. They're so ignorant, and the school systems they go to increase their ignorance. So you have to look hard to find a Christian school or a school that still deals in the classics to get any kind of education worthwhile at all. You don't even know today what anything is. And it's the blindness in the churches. It's the wrinkles and spots that the bride has. And she's not getting rid of them. Now, I'm here to say that you will get rid of them. And you will. That's God's promise, not mine. That's God's promise. God, not only, if he can clean me up, he can clean you up. There's nobody here worse than I am. Nobody. Nobody. Not even close. Nobody. But if he can clean me, he can clean you. So therefore, I have no doubt at all that he is able to overthrow any wickedness, any sons of Belial. Okay, have I given you enough of introduction that I can now preach? That was an introduction. Now I want to preach. 2 Samuel 23. Listen carefully. Now these be the last words of King David. Boy, here's a guy that knows politics. King David. He was a king. Not only that, he was the greatest king ever. Not the most glorious. Solomon was much greater in glory. But he was the greatest king ever for wiping out the bad guy. Solomon didn't have to do it. David did that. Solomon was not a man of war. David was. David was like Jesus as Savior who came to kill the bad guy and get you saved, but he did not build the church of God. He did not build God's house. Now, Jesus as Savior did not build the church. He said, I will build it. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed the gates of hell. Then he came back at Pentecost through the power of the Holy Spirit, like Solomon, a man of peace, to build the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. Why? Because he showed us something. How he was he never spoke his own words. He never did his own deeds. He only did the deeds of the Father. He only did the will of the Father. He always did what was pleasing to him. Now, what I'm telling you is not being preached today. It's not being preached. People do not even understand what a trustee is. A trustee always stands between the trustor, which is the benefactor, the owner, the one that has everything, and the beneficiary, the one that gets everything. So the grandfather owns the house. Then he makes the son his trustee to give it to the grandson or the granddaughter or all the children or whoever he wants to give it to his wife. It doesn't matter who it is. Now, a trustee then could be anybody. The trustee is not what's critical. It's only that whoever it is, they must never do their own account. They must never earn a profit. In fact, trustees never used to be paid anything, including their own expenses. Including their own expenses. They were given nothing because they had to already be well taken care of by the one who called them. But today in trust, the trust gives them a 0.5% or 5% in some horrible cases and so on. So they have something to live on. Kennedy, for example, has a big trust, and the tie he's wearing is not his tie. And whenever he does something wrong, you can't sue him because there's nothing there. And I could name, you know, tons of people that are right here in this city that have billion-dollar trusts. And you can't touch them because they own nothing. They own nothing in their own name. So they drive the trust's car, and they live in the trust's house. And trustees, then, are simply servants or slaves having nothing, saying nothing of their own, doing nothing of their own. The minute they do, they're no longer trustees. Now, our founding fathers set up a government that would be a trustee government rather than a benefactor government. Today you have a benefactor government, and the way it's going right now, it's going to even be worse because they're pretending to give out benefits to people. Not all the people, some of the people. But they claim if they redistribute the wealth from some to all, to others, then that's helping everybody. Because the one that has too much shouldn't have so much. And they're just helping you to be better than you are. Because you should have been kind and generous. But by they have to subdue the churches, because if they don't do that, and they can't do it, by the way. But if they don't subdue the churches, if they leave people like me around, then they won't win. They've got to destroy me. They have to. It's essential that they do. So you don't have to worry about a thing. They'll get me first. So that's a good deal. And I put my tapes out so they hear everything I have to say. But don't worry. I'm not speaking in my own voice, and I'm not doing my own deeds. I'm speaking in God. Now, if they want to gainsay God, if they want to go against God, if they want to challenge God, no problem. Go for it. I understand that totally. I used to do it myself. I'm not mad at people that do it. I'm not mad at people trying to take over. I'm not mad at people that are arrogant and proud. I'm not, because I used to be. But I am not any longer, no matter what you all might think or, you know. That's your own imagination. You gotta hang up. But that's all right. The point is that God likes me, whether you know that or not. God likes me. And he actually likes you. He is the benefactor. He is not a trustee. God is never a trustee, but his son Jesus is. Now Jesus doesn't have to be. That was voluntary at his part. He was up in heaven, had all the stuff up there. He had perfect knowledge, omniscient, omnipresent, you know, he had everything. So he had everything, and he said, Father, you want me to go downstairs and be the true trustee that Adam never has been, that Nimrod is now goofing up, that Abraham started, but no one will finish it? Let me go down and finish what they all started, or what they rebelled from. And so Jesus emptied himself of all his divinity, emptied himself, did not come down as God, but he came down as Son of Man. And he became the Messiah of Israel, speaking for God, acting for God, doing for God. Now, I am a husband. As a husband to Peggy, I don't say my own words if I do their worthless. I don't do my own deeds if I do their evil. But I love Peggy as God loves Peggy. And someday she'll stand before God and say, I had a perfect husband. And what she means by that is not observable. What she means by that is the only thing I received from him was what God used him to give to me, because he was a trustee of God. And Peggy is the perfect wife. Not because she is, but because she isn't. But because God is. And God gave her to me as a gift. You see the difference? So a trustee government is totally different than a benefactor government. In a benefactor government, the benefactor is the giver. But in a trustee government, someone above me is the giver, and I merely minister what he gives. I merely ministrate his blessings. None of the founding fathers, not one, but all of our presidents today, maybe Reagan is an exception, but all of our presidents today, I think Reagan might have been. They believe they're the benefactors and that government gives out gifts and benefits. You can call them anything you want to, entitlements, you know, whatever. That benefit means, I think I'm smart and know what's good. I thought only God was smart and knew what was good. I think we're strong and powerful. I thought it was God's sword, not yours. I thought that belonged to the people. I thought you ministered everything in the name of the people. I didn't think you owned any land. I didn't think you owned anything. I didn't think you had one thing in your name. But today, they claim, that's a benefit of government. And you have to pay for that. Well, the government owns nothing. Couldn't be a benefit of government. Could be a benefit of the people. But the people can only give what the people have, and they don't have everything. And God is the ultimate giver of everything. So whatever the people have would have to be a gift of God, because the people were his beneficiaries. And a beneficiary could have something, a benefit that God gave them, but only what God gave them, and no more. And if God gave them, for example, political authority on earth, they could give part of that away, but they would retain most of it. And the founders wrote a document, instruments, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and so on. And now, ever since then, they've tried to amend that to destroy the original purity of that document. So all of the amendments after the founding fathers perished in about, you know, 1822. When the founders, the last one was dead, gone, that's when they began to manipulate this country. So early part of the 19th century, but at least by the Civil War, everything changed. We became a totally different kind of corporate welfare state, where suddenly everything the founders set up was destroyed, but they did it by increments so you wouldn't notice. And they didn't want to have a rebellion on their hands. And the churches were more powerful at that time. They were freer. They were completely free. You'll never even find a court case on churches until the Civil War, because churches were free. But churches became incorporated. And when they became incorporated, not all, but many, but not all, but today almost all, today almost every church takes a tax exemption from the government. Almost every church gets a 501c3 from the federal. Almost every church gets a state incorporation. By the way, if you don't get the state incorporation, you can't get the other two at all. You can't get the other two at all. So that's kind of the basis, is what the state does, because the federal was supposed to stay separated, so they let the state do it for them, then they conquer the state and say, the state did it when they did it. Now, this kind of confusion is so great and so immense that it's hard to tunnel through to find the original. But I'm a good tunneler. And I love challenges that no one else likes. I love problems that are so big. I am unique in that. I wish there were thousands like me. I wish there were millions like me. But I'm afraid I'm very unique. I like difficult situations, and that's why I'm your pastor. I like impossibilities that other people won't even touch or handle or try to do. Because it's very hard to find gold deep buried into the earth. You have to dig down through a lot of dirt and remove tons and tons of dirt just to get an ounce of gold. to find a diamond. It takes
a lot of digging.
But sometimes they're alluvial right on the surface. But oftentimes you have to dig deeply for them. And even after you do, that's just the raw product. Then you have to purify it and send it to the furnace. And you have to do all kinds of chipping and cutting and everything else to make that thing beautiful. Do you all understand that? Hard work. Most people don't like to do hard work. They like to go the easy way. Well, you have a benefactor government that pretends to be the easy way for you. But Jesus said, go the hard way. There's an easy way, a broad way. Don't take that one. It leads to destruction. There's a hard way, a narrow way, that only one can make. That is, not even Jesus. God himself can only go that one way. So, when Jesus acted, it was actually the Father acting. Do you all understand? That's a trustee. A trustee never acts in his own account. He never owns anything. He never has anything. He never gives anything. Only the Father through him gives. Only the Father through him lives. Only the Father. And you know what? A Christian is not somebody that believes in Jesus. A Christian is someone who is like Jesus, who is the same kind of trustee, who doesn't love his her husband like she does, or ought to, or could, or should, but like Jesus does. How many know that if Jesus loves you, he loves you in spite of your sin? He's not even bothered by it. He died for that. So I'm not interested in Peggy's sin. I don't care how she sins. I don't care what she thinks about me or what she says to me or doesn't say or doesn't think. I don't really care about any of that. I know that she's a gift of God to me. And if she knifes me in the back, I thank God. That's a knife from God. Do you all understand that? And you know, she's actually thought of that. She's actually thought of that. And actually said that. You know, pirate knife might stab you. Although that was cute. I just thought that was cute. Because I knew she meant it. And I went like this to hide the drawer. Because I was in the kitchen at the time. I need that drawer. Don't you think Peggy's a neat wife? Very neat. Very good. But she has her mean streak. And I have this gift to bring it out. I don't know why. I mean, nobody else seems to be able to bring it out. But I do. I have that gift. Do you have that gift to bring out? Yeah. It's just a wonderful gift, isn't it? Very powerful. And so it makes her guilty. You know, see that? It's good for husbands and wives to be equally guilty. You'll never have a divorce if you're equally guilty. I'll say that again. You'll never have a divorce if you're equally guilty. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it'd be good to know that. It'd be good to know that. So it's easy to love when you're dead. It's easy to love when you're dead. It's easy to love when you're dead. Are you all dead to this world? Are you still lusting after things? Are you still trying to get somewhere? You're not a trustee. You're trying to get somewhere so you can be a benefactor to somebody? It won't happen. Not going to happen. There's only one benefactor good. God is good. And only God is good. And only God is great. And only God has the power and the wisdom and the strength and the glory and the everything. God is unique. Well, the Founding Fathers set this up. Now I want to read from George Washington. This George is quite a guy. I like George because he was our first president. Here's what he said. I consider, skip that one. Here's what I'm going to read. Disposed at every suitable opportunity to acknowledge publicly. So, here he is. He wants to say something, and he said, I'm disposed at every opportunity to announce this publicly. I want to say this. Our infinite obligations to the supreme ruler. Now, he's talking as a president, not as a person. He's talking in an office of trustee. I want to say, as a nation, we, the whole people, and its government, and its nation, which are two subordinate things. You have a people long before you have a nation or a government. You have a people, then a nation, then a government. One, two, three. I want to speak and say, we have infinite obligations to our Maker. And I want to express those. To the supreme ruler of the universe. So he considers God the king. He considers himself not a king. It's one of the reasons we didn't make kings. Because we have a king, God. And they read in the Bible where God wasn't happy that Israel wanted to have a king, like King Saul, or King David, or King Solomon, or whatever. But that thing never worked out too good. So it's amazing that Europe, being Christian under Christendom, wanted to have kings. When God was sick of them, he didn't want them. He wanted to be king. And the only way you put up a king is so you could be a benefactor government rather than a trustee government. Now, a king may in name say, I'm a trustee, but in fact be. a tyrant, a despot, someone who feels he has prerogatives and privileges and certain immunities and so on. But as England proved so well, and all other countries demonstrated beyond doubt, to have a king is to have a tyrant. It's not to have God. In fact, there were two themes in the American Revolution. One was no taxation without representation. The other one, which was number two, was no king but Jesus. We don't want to have any king but Jesus. We don't want to have a king, a benefactor, somebody who's a hotshot, somebody who's above the law, apart from the law, a king that makes the laws, or owns the land, or distributes as he wishes, or has prostitutes on the side, or, you know, whatever they call it, mistresses and so on. No, none of that. God doesn't want that. That's immoral. So idolatry leads to immorality, which leads always to injustice. So all injustice is due to immorality, and all immorality is due to idolatry. Get the religion right, you'll get the morals right. You get the morals right, you'll get the government right. Period. Over. Out. It's only the Christians that can attack the Antichrist. Nobody else. Your government today cannot attack and stop the Antichrist. That's why you will become anti-Christian. Because there's no churches in this land that are able to speak up or even understand. How could they speak if they don't know? They don't even know. They're not even aware of what the problem is. They just think, well, too much this and that and so on and so forth. Just superficial things. You have to get to the foundation. Abraham went to a city with foundation. Here's how you build a political city, a civilization. City just means civilization. Here's how you build a civilization on these two props right there. George Washington. He said, of all the dispositions, of all the habits of mankind, of all of them that lead to political prosperity, only two, religion and morality. Right here, natural religion and natural morality. Now, if it happens to be accompanied with the true religion, and the true religion is the religion of faith, where I have faith in someone above me, where God is the benefactor, God is the owner, God is the disposer, God is the everything, He's my all in all. That religion, where I don't do any works, totally the opposite of Nimrod. In Nimrod's idolatrous, immoral, and unjust society, there is no foundation. So Abraham said, I'm leaving Ur. I'm leaving Nimrod. I'm leaving Babylon. I'm leaving all the civilized world. And I'm going to a place where God said He's going to show me a foundation. And that place was Mount Zion. Mount Zion is not so much a geography as it is, that's where Jesus would be doing His ministry. That's where the law would go forth from Zion. Because only Israel had the truth, though they didn't understand it. Never, 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 never. At any time did they understand what a light was to the world. So, the Jewish people turned God's law into a legalism rather than into the religion of faith of Abraham. So they chose Moses over Abraham. Bad mistake. Abraham lived 430 years prior to Moses. But they wanted Moses. Moses said this, if you're good, I'll bless you. If you're bad, I'll curse you. They wanted that one. I like Abraham's a lot better. No matter what, one-sided, unilaterally, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll make all the families of the earth blessed because of you. That's God doing the blessing. Abraham adds zero, nothing. As a matter of fact, he fell asleep. So here's what he added. He fell asleep when God was cutting the covenant. When he woke up, he went, oh, is it done already? What, did I contribute my part? Yeah, he had a lot of Z's. You know, we enjoyed the snoring, you know. You were tired from beating the birds off. And so Abraham did nothing for the covenant because it's all one-sided. You do nothing for your marriage. You do nothing for your church. You do nothing for this world. You can do nothing, Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You don't have this foundation. This is the natural foundation. Nature doesn't know much about God. Just knows there is a God. They also know that there's punishment for doing bad and good, but they don't know what good and bad is. Why? Because God said, don't eat of that tree. You remember He said, don't eat of that tree? I don't want you to know what bad and good is. I just want you to do the good, and I want you to avoid the bad. Yeah, but if we don't know what it is, how can we do it? Well, as you need me, call on me. Did you see that? Did you see how God rigged it so that the world wouldn't work without Him? Wasn't that unfair of God? Wasn't unfair of God. That's just the way things are. You cannot know good and evil. It isn't like, oh, I could eat the tree or not eat the tree. Yes, you could eat the tree or not eat the tree, but the problem is when you eat the tree, you learn nothing. Even after you eat the tree, you still don't know what good and evil is. You just did evil. At least you know what evil is. No, men don't. They call evil good and good evil. They don't even still don't know. After trying to get that knowledge, how can you get that knowledge when it's in God? You don't have any knowledge. You can't get any knowledge. You can't eat a tree and get knowledge. How many went to college? You know, high school. You can't get knowledge from school. You're not going to get the wisdom of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Right there is the fear of God. You have to have a God. So the founder set this up. Here's what he said. Dispose at every suitable opportunity to acknowledge, not to give, but to acknowledge publicly our infinite obligation to the supreme ruler of the universe for rescuing our country. Did the army do it? Did the soldiers do it? Did the good people, because they were wonderful and good, do it? No. They gave all the glory to God. They gave all the glory to God. Today we rely upon our satellites. We rely upon our bank account. We rely upon our weaponry. We rely upon all kinds of things, you know, our vast country, our markets. We have all kinds of reliances, not God. And because we do that, we're fools. Not only that, we're evil. Because it's not true. That's foolish. But it's also evil because God said not to do it. I want you to check me out. This guy did. For rescuing our country from the brink of destruction. You see, God is a defender. Remember he said to Abraham, I am your shield. Shields defend. But I'm also your provider. Providers give you, reward you with provisions that you didn't earn. So he not only defends you from all evil, he provides you with all good. Ah, there is a God you've got to have. You want to have a God like that that makes every promise that all of your income is not related upon the market. The whole world today is being shaken. Because you got rid of the city with a foundation. This one has a foundation to it, but it's because it's informed by the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. This all I can learn here is guilt, that I didn't worship God properly, and I didn't love my neighbor as myself. That's all you can learn from nature. So man will try to correct that with his pyramid-type religions, where he's the benefactor, he's the ruler, he's the owner. And so man today is trying to govern himself without God. You can govern yourself, but only under God as a trustee. So the reason why my marriage works, and it does, is because I dominate Peg. No, that's the wrong answer. The reason that it works is because I am dead to myself, and I don't have any needs that Peggy has to meet. And I don't have anything that I own or am brilliant about or anything else. I am a nothing. That's the secret to our marriage. Y'all see that? And so the love that she gains is when I'm dead and God lives through me. Now, if I'm alive, he can't get through me. He's got to be alive to kill me off before he can get to her. I can't love her if I still love myself. So he has to kill the old man. That's my prayer every day. God, kill the old man. Don't harm anybody today. I'm sure I will. I'm a natural at it. Is there anyone else gifted as I am? Just a natural at thinking I'm doing good, I could actually be harming everybody. Amen? Isn't that amazing? I just know it. I tremble at all of the wonderful things that I imagine I'm doing, but I'm actually destroying. Isn't that amazing? So I got to have a God. Whether you like me or not, I don't really care. If this is God, I got to deal with God. God, I probably killed everybody there, but is it okay? Thank God we have a God that forgives. Now, you can't learn that from nature. You don't know in nature that God's forgiving. You have to learn that from Jesus. You won't learn it from any other religion either. The Muslims don't have any forgiveness in them. The Jews don't have any forgiveness in them. Huh? They do not forgive their enemies. They hate their enemies with a perfect hatred. And they feel they're doing God a service. No, not so. Jesus told us clearly, forgive your enemies. Do good to your enemies. How many know that's the way to defeat your enemy? Turn him into a friend. Serve him. That's the way you make your marriage work. Go to the one that doesn't deserve it and love them because they don't deserve it. Forgive them because they don't deserve it. Now, well, I'm not going to forgive him because he doesn't deserve it. I mean, who are you going to forgive then? That's what forgiveness is for. It's for people that don't deserve it. That's who God is. You know, he forgives people that don't deserve it. I'm like, well, let me forgive people that really deserve it. They can't deserve it. Only God's good. So the only way you can forgive is to give it as a free gift. you don't qualify. He loves you as a scoundrel, as a sinner. Don't think I came for the righteous. I came for sinners. Amen? How many of you are sinners? Pre-qualified for that. It's good. It's good that you know it. You should write it on the refrigerator, though, because you could forget that. You could put that down where you can see it. Put it on your mirror or the bathroom thing as you're brushing your teeth. Don't forget, you're a wicked, rotten sinner, hypocrite, liar, shallow, and boring. Just don't forget that. Put that down. Because you might. And you might get miffed at somebody else for doing something or failing to do something, some law or some rule that you had for them, as though they were givers of good things. People are not givers of good things. We love them because God loved us first. And because he loved us enough to kill us so that he could love somebody else through us so that he could get the glory. Y'all see? When Jesus died, he got the glory for loving us who weren't lovable. When you die, and you love someone else, God gets the glory because it wasn't you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me in the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So you're not living this life, and you've got to learn to be a trustee rather than the benefactor. You're not a good person. You'll never be a good person. You never were. You never will be. You cannot be. God doesn't want you to be. He wants to be good. He's the only one that's good. Jesus said, no one is good but God. Worship him. Now, here's what George said. I cannot fulfill or fail. I'm sorry, at this time. That was 1783 when he did this. Just after the Declaration, but prior to the Constitution. I cannot fail at this time. By the way, he was a general. And he was just saying these words as a general. To ascribe all the honor of our late successes. We just won the revolution. 83 was when they won it. To the same glorious being, the establishment of civil and religious liberty is the motive that drove me to the field. In other words, he's saying right here, the only reason that I did anything, took this office up, became a trustee, was for civil and religious liberty. I am going against every government in the whole world, including, of course, England. I fought England and we won, and God gave us the victory because we were his trustees. It was God's victory. God gave us the victory. We weren't a good people. We fasted and we prayed and we asked his forgiveness and we repented constantly. Early America was big on repenting as a nation. As a nation, publicly, not in the churches. Of course, everybody in the church did it in their own way. But the whole nation was called. They weren't forced, by the way. It was voluntary. But George Washington called the people. Look, voluntarily, on your own, do it in your own way, however your God is or whatever, that's your deal. But do it. Give thanks to God. He was counting on the fact that he, who was a Christian, and others who were Christians, would lead the way as true leaders of a trustee understanding. Other religions don't have a trustee understanding. They are trying to be good. You see, I'm not trying to be good. I've never been good. I don't want to be good. I'll never be good. God is good. Only God is good. And he wants my death, not my life. He doesn't want me to live. He wants me to be dead. Jim, give me your life. Give me your life. I want to do something a little bit. No, Jim. Look what you've done so far. I was going to do better today. I'm not good. I'm not even reformable. The only thing that God can do with someone like me is kill him. Say, Jim, I know you were thinking of doing a good work. But it was just thinking, because I'm going to have to kill you now. And I'm okay with that. It's like, okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not against that. Because I realize, and Peggy reminds me all the time, what a rat I am on my own. Hello? I don't know if there's any other men in this church that have wives like that, that are so beneficial and helpful to me, from God, to point out all my sins. She's so helpful. Is there anyone else like that here? You have a wife like that? Yes. It's good. Two people. Anyone else that has a wife like that, that will tell you, you know, not all your sins, but a few of them. The more important ones. The ones that come up. And Peggy is so good. She has a list. I don't know how she can maintain it. And if I say to her, Peg, I don't know what's wrong. She's just right there helping. She's helping. Helping me to die. Because that's Jesus. That's what he wants. That's why your marriage works, Lou. That's the only reason your marriage worked. It wasn't working, even though you were a Christian. It wasn't working until you died. And said, you know what, I'm going to trust God from now on. I'm not going to trust myself. Let's do what God says. If God says, trust me, I gave you a perfect husband, I'm not going to judge him. How do I know what good and bad is? Why should I decide, even though it's so obvious that he's a jerk? I think I'll decide nothing. I think I'll let God decide. Hey, much better way to live. Just trust God that everything's going your way. Zippity doo dah. George said, I want to thank God for our successes in the revolution. The establishment, listen carefully, of civil and religious liberty was the motive which induced me to the field. That was the motive. I wanted to see civil liberty based upon religious liberty. This is always first, this is always second. You get this, you get this. You don't get this, you'll never get this. This one can never be first. The government gave nothing. It was God who gave this, and when Christians figured out who they were, then the government was blessed and benefited by God. The object has been attained. So, whatever he was supposed to do, civil and religious liberty, was accomplished. It now remains to be my earnest prayer that the citizens of the United States would make a wise and virtuous use of the blessings that God gave. Place now upon us. So God blessed this nation from the beginning, and now we've wandered from it and forgotten God. And God always warned about that, that happened to ancient Israel, so it's not a surprise. But the point is, we can still get back. We can repent today. Who's ready to repent? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 and a half. Okay, so you're not eager to say it's my fault. You're not eager to say I don't want to be the benefactor. You know, you're not good. Let God give you the good. It's just a gift. You don't have to earn it or fight the bad guys or anything. Just let God do it all. How many know that when a king rules, his sword is really God's sword? I told one of the judges in Fort Worth, you know, when you make a ruling, it's really the wrath of God that's operating. And you need to minister the wrath of God against wickedness, not against good people. Against wickedness. And that judge said, I never heard that before. I never heard that before. He was kind of amazed. She thought a little smile came on her face like, whoa. You know, in other words, yeah, I have more power, but it's only against evil. And we're only talking here about civil evil. We're not talking about spiritual evil or moral evil. We're only talking about civil evil. That was in 83. This one. Baptist churches, I told you, were the only churches in the American Revolution that were so vehement about religious liberty. No other church, not the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, etc. None of those. Baptists were the only ones. Here's what he said. This is George. To the churches in Virginia that were Baptists. If I could have entertained the slightest apprehension that the Constitution, now we're 1789, 2 years after, framed in our convention where I had the honor to preside, you see, he's just a trustee, might possibly endanger the religious rights of any ecclesiastical society, of any church, of any religious group, not just Christian, Jewish, Catholic, anything. He didn't care. He just said, if I had the slightest apprehension that the Constitution could ever be used to take away their essential liberty and rights, certainly, I would never have placed my signature to it. And if I now could conceive that the general government, which means not the Constitution, but the one under it, in other words, the government that works under the Constitution, none of our governments today do. None of our governments do. So, to the contrary, I don't care what you think and what they say, they don't. They now operate by statutes and operate by their own ways. And even when they quote the Constitution, so you think, oh, they're still under it. No, they're not. It's been overthrown. There's nothing out there but a piece of paper now. If I could conceive that the general government might ever be so administered so as to render liberty of conscience insecure, I beg you will be persuaded that no one would be more zealous than myself to establish effective barriers against the horrors of spiritual tyranny In other words, I want all churches and all religion to remain free in this government. Government will have nothing to do with religion. Leave it entirely alone. Now, we're not talking about you as individuals, as citizens of the United States. There you owe the government something. But as churches, nothing. Total, absolute, complete freedom. Separation. Today, even Christians are calling for, you know, a close union between the church and the state. They want to get the benefits of, you know, build us an auditorium. You know, let us do some of your social work for you. So this is garbage. This is evil. This is nasty. This is stupid. The government now owns you. And you will not preach Jesus Christ in that kitchen. And they will pretty soon come along and tell you, in this school that we just built for you, you will not mention the name Jesus. And some groups say, oh, they said we could do it. Yeah, you can do it today. You're not going to do it tomorrow. You're a fool. And if you say, well, I'll just give it back. You cannot. Now you must pay every penny back. And they will not even take it. You are a slave. You've cooked yourself. You've stupidly taken a benefit from a government rather than from God. Why didn't you have the faith that God would provide the kitchen or the auditorium or the school or whatever? Because your God is too small. Your God is too little. He's not really a benefactor. He really doesn't defend you and he doesn't prosper you. You want to go the easy way. You want to go man's way. And man's going to offer you all kinds of temptations and bribes so you'll prostitute yourself and take from man what only God can give. And you know what? You'll end up as a harlot, cast off, and you'll regret and rue the day that you took anything from man's hand, thinking that you wouldn't have to pay for it. There are no freebies. Nothing is free. Everything is to enslave you and destroy you. And your enemies work night and day. You don't, but they do, to destroy you. You leave your enemy to wander about. Homosexuality can be here, and adultery there, and this and that, and so on and so forth. It's just rampant. It's all on television. You let it go on. There's nothing you do about it. Well, what can I do? What do you mean, what can I do? We're not talking to you. We're talking about God in you. Well, I had a lot to do. Okay, fine, then don't complain. Just be a slave and thank God for your yellow handcuffs. Well, could I have green? Okay, as all you want is to change it from yellow to green. That's what the legal society will give to you. When they help you, they only help you change the color of the handcuff. They never set you free. Ever. So when you hear all this stuff about, oh, we're winning many cases for the church, they are winning no cases for the church. The church is free. They don't need to win any case. But we've gone far from our Constitution. We've gone far from George Washington. And every species, in other words, I would set up myself any barrier against any species of religious persecution. For, you doubtless remember, I have often expressed my sentiments that every man conducting himself as a good citizen, being accountable to God alone. In other words, you as a citizen of this country only owe God. You're not accountable to the government. You're accountable to God alone. And the only reason you obey the government is because God told you to whom you're accountable first. It's God that told you to give something. The government cannot. Someone cannot just take over the government and say, give me what's due. Adolf Hitler tried that. Okay, I'm now the government that God established. And the German church and the German people were not able to say to him, go jump in the lake. They just simply mockstepped. You know, they just simply, you know, went in line and goose-stepped all the way to hell and destroyed their culture, their nation, and everything, thinking that Adolf Hitler had promised them, hey, you see, you're poor today and you're beaten down. Let me be your savior, your Führer. Always, always run away from anyone that helps you. If a pastor is kind, I know he's going to end up in bed with his members. I don't believe in human kindness, human goodness. I don't believe in humans. I believe in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So and so says, oh, Pastor Jim, you're not very kind. That's right. I'll add to that. I'm cold as a snake. I don't have any love, any care, any concern, you know, nothing. I'm sorry. No matter what you think, you're wrong. I'm worse than my brother here. Worse. He's a good guy compared to me. And has always been. Though he may have done some nasty deeds, I can just tell you, inside of me, there's no warmth at all. I had a church member in Fort Worth, I think I've told you, that killed 13 people. He was a hitman. And it was nothing compared to me. He said these words to me. He said, well, I never killed anyone that didn't deserve it. And my response inside, I didn't tell him this, my response inside is, what's that have to do with anything? Who cares if people deserve it or not? You just kill because you kill. I'm totally cold. I have no morals. I have no religion, nothing, until Jesus Christ came into my life and took over my life, not only forgave me, but now lives his life through me. That's where the love comes from. Do you all understand that? That's a trustee government, not a benefactor government like we have today. For you doubtless remember, I've often expressed my sentiments that every man conducting himself as a good citizen, just outward, that's all we're asking, being accountable to God alone for his religious opinions, ought to be protected in worshiping the deity according to the dictates of his own conscience. In other words, every man has a right to do what God tells him to do, not what we tell him to do. We're not benefactors. We don't give anything. We just serve God. And we serve the people that God has appointed over us, the sovereign people. Everybody in this room is the people, but you individually is the people. So the word people means two things. It means the sovereign people, which is everybody in this room aggregated. And it also means the sovereign people, which means everybody who's just an individual, who's the governed. That is the ruler and the governor, and the government is under the ruler, which is the sovereign people. In other words, the sovereign is not a king, it's not an aristocracy, it's not even a democracy, it's certainly not a government. The sovereign is the people. There's only one principle, John Adams said. I only know of one principle, monarchy, aristocracy, blah, 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 nothing. The only principle is the people. There, God has given to the whole people. Every law today is given for part of the people. Maybe the poor people, maybe the rich people, maybe some corporate benefit over here. It's never for all the people. All laws today are no laws at all because they're special interest laws. Do you understand? They're not for the whole people. It's only at your expense then we're going to redistribute the wealth over here to somebody else. And they're going to punish certain people of the people in order to bless and benefit certain other people. That's because the benefactor actually doesn't have anything or own anything. And so he's a liar. So the government is lying when it says, let us be a friendly government. Let us help you. The government is here to help you. No, the government here is to destroy you and take away every vestige of dignity, value, and worth that you have. When we get rid of that government and return to the original government, which is this government that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, etc., etc., etc. The government they set up was a servant government that was at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. Do you all understand that? It's very powerful, what I'm saying. That's why you can elect whoever you want to elect. You're just electing another bribable, another weakling, another ignoramus. And no matter how much they promise you, they're going to lie. Every promise that they say will never be able to do it. Even if they wanted to do it. Even if you elected me, let's say you elected me as your president, you know what? You can't do anything because the whole government is corrupt itself. And there's no way you can overthrow it because the problem lies in the church. It lies in the people. Here's the people. This is totally separate from the government. The foundation is the problem. What can the righteous do if you destroy the foundation? Nothing. The righteous can do nothing. But here's the secret. You can't destroy it. You cannot destroy the foundation. What? Because it's in heaven. God set it up. He didn't say, because the foundation is destroyed. He said, if. In other words, if you set up a benefactor government, you'll have nothing but slavery and oppression and immorality and so on. Nimrod immediately set it up so homosexuals could survive there. You know, prostitutes. And you know, now they're cleaning them up. And I understand Peggy was down this morning. One of the states or something there. Oh, Rhode Island. They're now making prostitutes public so that they're legal and so that they don't have to go and do it the dirty way. How the government will provide for you. Well, that's a nice way. You certainly don't need a God and you don't have to face any consequences because it's all guaranteed. So now you can sin without any guilt at all and you don't have to worry about anything. Everything's clean. I'm sure it's going to be great. Oh, a few people will probably sue, but you know, basically it's a nice deal because the government is your friend. The government is helping you out. How many know the government does good things? God says governments do nothing good. They are slaves that do the master's good. They are not ever the owners. They are never the masters. You all see this? This is so powerful. To me, this is powerful. To me, this is powerful. And there aren't many people alive today that can even get us back because they don't know how we got to where we are in the first place. They don't. They don't know how we got there. They don't know where we were, where did we start, how did we get in the middle, and how do you get back to it? They don't know how. The Republic of Texas group, you know, get some guns out and shoot the government. Really smart. Brilliant. That's not exactly God's way. You all see that? The easy thing is to shoot somebody. The hard thing is to clean up your own life. The hard thing is for the churches to return to God. It isn't the beast that's sleeping with the whore. It's the whore that's winking at the beast. The problem is always the female. Now listen carefully, because this is not generic. The problem is always, always, you read the scripture, you will never see that the beast conquers the woman. You will always see the woman winks and the woman entices. The woman wants some benefit. She's trying to get some desire met. Remember God said that in the Garden of Eden? And the woman's desire will be for her husband. She'll try to get something from him. You cannot get anything from man. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Why do you want to get something from a man? How many know that men are unreliable? Have you not learned that? We have to teach that to young people. That men are unreliable. Men are animals. They're not neat people. Hello. I know a few men, and they're all like me. They're animals. They're wicked. They're beasts. Do you all understand the words I'm using? I won't tell you who this is, but somebody spoke to me, and they said, well, I remembered when you said that when we got married, but at the time, you know, I was kind of in love, and I didn't pay attention to it. Now, many years later, they're going, I think I now understand what you were saying, because, you know, now it hurts that I was so stupid and foolish to walk into something blind. I tried to blame the other person, but actually it's my own fault, because I didn't listen. But now I got ears. So it's good. Whenever you got ears, you got ears. Do you all have ears today? You all have ears? We have abundant reason. The last one I'll read. We have abundant reason to rejoice that in this land of light, of truth and reason, it has triumphed over the power of bigotry and superstition. So this is the new America that George was talking about. Every person here may worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So you see, free churches, free religion. Thomas Jefferson will say the same thing. Adams will say the same thing. Every single founding father. And I read them night and day. I read them voraciously. In fact, I have notes on everybody. I have all the good quotes on everybody that's ever written anything or whatever. I have 30,000 books in my library. I just go and read them all the time. And all of those books have to do with scripture and have to do with government and whatever else, law, because I want to know everything about everything for your sake. Why? Well, I'm a trustee. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. So already I've been awake for a long, long time. And I study and I pray and I confess. And I work to bless you, to give you the truth that'll set you free. And you say, well, what good will it do? I don't know. I don't really care. I just do what my Father tells me. I just do what my Father tells me. If he tells me to, you know, jump off a building, I'll do it. I'm not trying to accomplish anything. I don't accomplish stuff. I just want to do my Father's will. I just want to do my Father's will. In this land, enlightened age, of equal liberty, it's our boast that a man's religious tenets will not forfeit the protection of the laws. In other words, whatever a church believes, it's not only able to believe it, but is able to exercise it, as long as it isn't breaking some kind of natural law. Able to believe it and then exercise it, the laws will not touch you. Now, if you kill or do murder, that goes against natural law. If you steal and so on and so forth, try to turn a church into an Amway or something like that, that's stupid stuff. That's stupid stuff. People do it, by the way, all the time. That kind of thing is done all the time. But we don't do it. And we don't even have a bank account that earns interest. We don't have anything. I wouldn't take one penny from this world. We don't have a legal name. We don't have a legal address. We don't have any connection whatsoever to this world. Nothing. There's no way. When you go into court, first thing they ask you is, what's your name and address? We don't have a name, we don't have an address, and we don't go into court. Period. I'd die before I'd ever yield to anybody that has no authority over me. Whatever. Now, I don't really care about government today. Government today is just going to do with power. They don't care about the laws. They just do with power. They should simply use the power. Yank you out, padlock your church, they don't care. If you're ignorant, it's your own fault. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. you don't know the law better than they do, that's too bad that you didn't care. Well, Pastor, that's too much hard work. Everything's too much hard work. What are you worried about? With God, you can do all things. You just have to get up at 4:30. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. All right. God is good. I hope you're blessed. I hope you realize that Nimrod, Baal, he was the first guy that set up a benefactor government. He was the first guy that called himself God. And you know that the very last thing in history is going to be a war between the true church and the false church. Did you know that? That doesn't think religion will ever go out of business. It isn't just the Muslims and the Jews and the Christian fundamentalists and crazy people. So that's not it. Religion itself is a problem. But God owns it. It's all belonging to God. And let God sort that out. No man here is able to judge whether Muslims are right or wrong. That's their own business. They can do as they wish. And if they capture their government and turn it into Sharia law and so on, yeah, that's what they can do. But don't expect justice. And don't expect morality. And don't think that because they cut people's hands off, there's no stealing. Or because they kill women that, you know, take their veil off. You know, don't think that that's justice or morality or true religion. But that's none of your business. You just decide for yourself. You just make sure you answer to your God. And in this country, we allow all people to do what they want. Well, you know what? If you do that, you have no rules then. You have no standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. The only standard is not the government itself. They know nothing. They are nothing. They can do nothing. They have to be told by the people, and we're the people. And where are the churches today? Are they lights in this world? Have they enlightened everyone? The school system doesn't listen to churches. Nobody does. You know why? We don't have anything. It isn't because we have something, you don't want to hear it. It's because we don't have anything. Because we're not willing to suffer. If you're not willing to suffer and die, you don't know what a trustee is. A trustee is someone that always, always, always loses. I don't ever want to win. I don't want to win. I don't have anything to win. I already have everything. My father promised me everything. It's the father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why defend myself? He's my shield. Why prosper myself? He's my exceeding great reward. Do you realize that I don't have to do it? I won't do it. I haven't done it. I don't need to do it. I'll just let God do it. Did you know the best is yet to come? Amen. This government was set up, and there isn't any other government. If this government fell, there'd be no other government. Yeah. There isn't any other government. Because it's the only one that has a foundation to it. And that foundation is not destroyed. It's still there. We fear God. That's what the foundation is. We believe there's a God in the Most High. And that God will always accomplish what He set out to do. So the only question is, did He have a destiny for this country? Did He have a destiny? The founders said so, thought so, and worked at it. And set up documents for you. But they're just pieces of paper. Unless you make them alive. Unless you make yourself educated. Get knowledge. Otherwise you'll be destroyed for your lack of it. You'll be destroyed because you have no vision. Nobody today has a vision. No church today has a vision for government, for economics, for the society. They don't even have a vision for the church itself. They don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. Even when they tell you, well, evangelism. That's one aspect. But evangelism is not the only aspect. What about discipleship? There is none. Why? Because that means death to the self, and that means trustees. That means you do not love your wife. You let God love your wife. You do not love your husband. You let God love your husband. You don't own your children. They belong to God. And you give them to God. You must give them to God. Dear God, here's my husband. Here's my own life. Hey, I'll not only give you my husband, my children, my nation, everything. I will give you myself. How many are ready today to give yourself to God? Because only God can do what God can do. And you cannot do what God can do. But He can turn anything around. This economy can turn around like that. But if you won't repent, it will not. And God's using it to wake you up. He's not punishing you. He's using it to wake you up. Like, don't you think this isn't good?
Well, yeah, I was griping and complaining about it.
Well, you don't gripe and complain. God doesn't gripe and complain. What you do is repent. God, it's all my fault. Get me. I'm ready. All right, who's ready to do that? Do you take responsibility? Praise God. Do you take responsibility? Steve? Tom? Who else? Take responsibility. It's my fault. I didn't pray enough. I didn't fast enough. I didn't even listen to the message.
I just thought Pastor was crazy.
Okay, that's okay. That's all right. I don't mind. I don't own you. I don't control you. I don't want to. I just declare to you, as a trustee of God, thus saith the Lord. The Lord wants to set not only you free individually, not only other men free by your love, but also even your government. He wants to put the government on a better foundation. Just take it back. Just take it back. It could be easily taken back if anybody cared, if anybody was dead. But everybody's too much alive. So you'll be a slave forever of your own benefactions because you have none. Only God benefacts. Let's close in prayer. Okay, you want to close in prayer?
Lord, we do magnify you. We exalt you. Lord, you're doing such a powerful work. Let's say thank you for it.
Amen?
Out of your own mouth. Don't wait for me.
Don't wait for me.
Let's thank you. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your excellent greatness. Everything you're doing. Lord, we honor you and bless you.
Praise you.
We thank you for this word today, Lord God, that we're being broken. We're being broken in our flesh. Now we've already received Jesus. We're transformed all from the heart. Well, we've got a lot of work needs to be done in the soul. The parts of our brains that have been trained by this world. But Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is transforming us as we come and set ourselves under the Word by faith. We're not fixing ourselves. We're just hearing and changing because you are transforming us. We've set ourselves under the Spirit and under your Word. And we're being made new. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we honor you and we bless you and we glorify you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, as we give this morning, we thank you this because we're free. We may even be tight, but if we were operating with fear, maybe it's just keeping. Father, we thank you that we operate by faith. So our giving is just based on our faith. We're thankful for the word. We desire to continue to disperse it and spread it. So we give with joy and thanksgiving and peace. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get these two guys to help me with that. Just to mention that on Tuesday night, Margaret Borchert, Jim's youngest daughter, has initiated a Bible study that Pastor Jim is teaching at the Donofsky home near the tollway and Lover's Lane on Amherst. And that's on Tuesday night at 7:30. This is limited to 20 and 30 year olds. And it's married or single. 20 and 30 year olds. And then you're out and not that good.